Bill 1082, an act to appropriate money for post-secondary technical education enhancements. Proponents of that bill? Proponents of House Bill 1082. Kind of homey day here in Senate Ed.
Homey.
The chairman's got his homies.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Chris Poston. I'm the director of the Mitchell Technical Institute. With me today is Jeff Holcomb, who is the director of Southeast Technical Institute in Sioux Falls. We're here today in support of 1082, and what I've distributed to you is a Finance 101 for Tech Institutes. And we'll briefly cover that with you and be happy to answer questions. First of all, revenue sources for the technical institutes. We have three primary sources. The first are our state funds, and approximately 50% of our revenue comes from state dollars on an annual basis. Some of it's a little more, some of it's a little less. We receive 40% of our revenue from tuition and fees. We are, I think, the second highest on an FTE basis in the nation in terms of those of that tuition that is charged. I think Connecticut is higher than us, the last research that I read on that. We do not receive any local dollars. That's important to know, as that comes up annually, that folks somehow think that we receive local dollars. Rather, we, each of us, in some manner, pay to our local districts for some of those services that we receive from business office and so forth and so on. And then the other portion of our funds are federal, and approximately 10% of our funds come from the federal dollars called the Perkins Act. You may know that the Perkins Act in President Bush's newest budget has been recommended to be zeroed out. Now, this is our dollars have been fairly stable throughout the last 10 years in terms of federal dollars and tuition and fees. They've raised periodically, but the enrollments have continued to rise and aren't keeping up on an FTE basis. One of the funds that we receive from the state is from the Economic Development Office. You'll notice that for approximately 10 years under the Janklow administration, we received anywhere from $1.5 million to $1.8 million annually. Under Governor Janklow, those funds were targeted to specific programs which served economic development needs of the state. And that varied from school to school, but it was targeted toward programs with high technology and high wages. The last two fiscal years, Governor Rounds has reduced that amount to about $800,000 annually to all technical institutes, by the way, not just each, but all institutes. And his focus is a little bit different in terms of looking at innovation and what he feels the funds should not be used for in terms of updating computer labs and those kinds of things, which he thinks should be included in an operational budget. Slide four shows the tuition as it has increased over recent years. In addition to the tuition, the average fee or fees administered by each institute is about $500 a semester. The tuition is approved by the State Board of Education, so any increases that we might want to have to go through them. And for your information, the Board of Education also approves any new programs. They approve teacher credentials. The next area of funding is what I referred to as the federal dollars, and those are Perkins. Identified those funds for the last five fiscal years, and they're about $4.5 million. As I said, those are targeted for to be zeroed out. That's both secondary and post-secondary.
If I could, Mr. Poston, yes. Perkins dollars, for the edification of the committee, are basically for lower income students. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the original intent of the legislation, and it was also to serve the special needs of students. That has been broadened in recent years, and now it's used for other areas, such as salaries for new programs. We usually use those for about 3 years, and then we revert to the funding or the distribution formula.
Thank you. Senator Knudsen, yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Perkins dollars, it looks like is roughly $2 million.
Yes, sir.
That actually goes to the institutions as opposed to students?
Is that correct? Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Pardon the interruption, Chris. I'm sorry.
Okay. As you said, originally that bill, that funding from the feds was to serve special needs populations, and we had to identify and track the categories of special services that might have been provided for those students. But you'll see that we have about $2 million that remains, which is then used by each institute on a grant basis, and that's distributed, by the way, according to the number of Pell Grant recipients and BIA recipients that you have your institution, as a percentage of all of them statewide. So if I have 100 and Jeff has 100, we split the money. If he has 90 and I have 110, that goes up and down on an annual basis depending on how that money plays out according to the BIA and Pell Grant recipients. Also, just backing up a bit, I did forget to mention that the reason that we probably have a larger percentage of state dollars going into our budgets is that we have no local source of revenue or no taxing authority. If you go around the country, in most tuition institutions, you will find them in some kind of a tax base. You'll find them in a region such as Iowa and Nebraska have. And so that's the reason that our state dollars tend to be a little bit higher, and also our student tuition as a percentage tends to be a little bit higher. Then the last fund that I would like to talk about is the state general fund appropriation, which this current fiscal year is approximately $17 million. And that is one pot of money. Going through that pot of money, we have some set-asides. The first of those is for the bonding payment of that debt, and that comes out off the top of our dollars. Now, additionally, the students pay a facility fee of $12.50 an hour up to a maximum of 12 credit hours per semester, or about $150 a semester, what they pay. And that is to retire the debt. Then there's an adult farm management allocation, which actually is for Mitchell Tech and Lake Area Tech. It's a carryover from Department of Agriculture funds. Those programs were funded that way in years ago. The next item is probably one of our greater concerns, and that's of maintenance and repair. We are deferring a lot of our maintenance and repair, the institutes, because there's only so many dollars to go around. The $500,000 is, quite frankly, is our choice. The state board does approve those amounts annually. However, if we would choose to decrease that and increase the formula, it's still the same pot of money. We just have to decide where those dollars are going to go. But that has not increased, and we've increased about 800 to 1,000 students, and we've increased our square footage about 150,000 square feet, and in our maintenance is still remaining the same. Industry training coordination is for the coordinators located at each of the technical institutes to assist with economic development of the institute of that city, of that a region of the state, and that is split four ways. And then the daycare, each institute has a daycare, and so we each receive $25,000. That does not begin to pay for what it costs to operate a daycare. Mitchell Tech subsidizes its daycare to the tune of about $16,000. It is for the children of the students that attend of the institute. And we've had the daycare for a number of years. We used to have daycare programs. We no longer have those. Then the second to the last item is industry training. which can be accessed by each institute for training needs of their particular area of the state. And then that last paltry sum there is for contingency, and if we ever get in trouble, we're going to really be in trouble, because that is not a lot to have in the reserve. So there's about $2 million that is taken away from the pot of money. So we end up with an allocation of about $14 million. And then, for your benefit, I separated out our enhancement funds from this current year, which are one-time dollars, which are not a part of the ongoing allocation. And so we end up about $13.5 million. And we don't really have a funding formula. We have a distribution formula. And what has happened over the years is that the pot of money has not increased as much as the number of students in the institutes. And our distribution formula is dependent on a number of factors. One is our completers, those who complete our programs. Secondly is wages. Our baseline wage for graduates is $9.50 an hour. So if, for example, on a statewide basis, a particular occupation pays $9 an hour, then we receive that percentage of $9.50 an hour. Also then placement. We pride ourselves in our placement. We have anywhere from 90 to 95% placement. Of that, about anywhere from 85 to 90 are placed in the state of South Dakota, and so we think everybody gets a good bang for the buck. The last page points out the point that we have this pot of money, and what has happened to the enrollment, and what has happened on an FTE basis anyway, that annual increase, and we find ourselves every year playing catch up. That amount of money right there, or our current amount of money, I should say, I think puts us at about a 1998 or 1999 level. Then the next slide identifies what the FTEs would be at FY97, what our actual funding is, and then with our 3% annual increase, what it would be if we had just increased the dollars per FTE by 3% annually. And the last slide points out what we use the money for, and I've identified both the money in the bill plus the $700,000 in the governor's budget. New programs, and if we aren't producing new programs, then we aren't responding to our mission, we aren't responding to the economic development needs of the state of South Dakota, which we're joined at the hip, I guess, which is important to us. And we do not start new programs just to have a new major or a new programs. It's tied to the economic development needs of the state of South Dakota. Compensation, we do not have a salary policy. This pot of money that we receive, we do everything with that money. We pay for the faculty, we pay for capital expenditures in terms of equipment, we pay for any kind of salary increases, and to remain competitive with the industry. And that's who we compete with for teachers. And if you've tried to hire a health person like Mr. Holcomb has to do regularly because he has the most health programs, that's a pretty pricey figure. We're looking at a radiation therapy program in Mitchell right now, and I don't believe we'll get an individual for less than $50,000 on a 12-month basis. And so that's a challenge for us. And then operation and maintenance, that's not enough, but that's where some of the money would go to. We're still struggling to do that. And of course, in the last biggest item is for technology to make up the difference with the governor's cutback in economic development funds. In closing, I'll say that I think any state that grows because of its educational system, and that's a comprehensive educational system. And we have a good K-12 system, in many cases a pre-K system that works, We have a great higher education system with four-year degrees and with graduate schools and research, which is on the horizon, which is to be lauded. But in the middle are the two-year tech institutes. And any state that grows economically is going to have that technical support for its professionals and for those folks. With that, I'll close and answer questions, or maybe Jeff wants to add some comments.
Just a couple of quick comments. We are an equipment-intensive operation, and with that considered, we want to be current with the type of technology that is existing in industry, so our students are going to go from our institution into industry and know the equipment. And that is a challenge, and we definitely need to meet that challenge. As well as being a training institution, the equipment gets used very heavily. Consequently, maintenance becomes a major factor, particularly in healthcare.
Thank you, Jeff. I don't know if the committee remembers when we had the Western Dakota mobile classroom, I guess, for lack of a better term. I don't know if anybody got to go out there, but they had two pieces of equipment, and they were doing measurement on nutritional aspects of feeds and so forth. And those two pieces of equipment and the software were $70,000. So, I mean, and it was state-of-the-art, but I think it certainly underscores your point there.
Chairman, yes. Another point is that we each are developing our own foundations. I believe that Lake Area Tech's foundation is probably the most developed, but as a rule across the country, two-year institutions don't have well-developed foundations. And we do have our partnerships with business and industry, and we do appreciate their participation in this. Without them, we couldn't do it.
Mr. Poston, that new company that's going to locate in Mitchell, AK, whatever it is?
Otto Kuhler Group.
Oh, G, okay.
AKG.
Thank you. That's pretty good for a Norwegian.
Yeah. I'm German.
Have you been in contact with them about any training needs? Because I believe they're welding aluminum, which is a little bit of a different process.
As a matter of fact, Southeast and Mitchell are working on that jointly. Because we do not have a post-secondary program as where Southeast does, but we've identified some options for training in Mitchell. Otto Kuhler Group is a worldwide company from Germany, and they basically make radiators. That's my term for it, but they call it something else.
Coolers.
The last step in the process is aluminum welding. Mm-hmm. So if you mess up at that last phase, you mess up the whole product. And we'll be hopefully training about 40 people between now and next fall when they're scheduled to open.
Yeah.
And that's through our industry training operation.
Any committee questions? Seeing none, are there further proponents of House Bill 1082? Further proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents to House Bill 1082? This bill does have an appropriation. Seeing no opponents, we'll close the committee testimony to House Bill 1082 for committee discussion and or action. Senator Knutson.
It's my day to make motions.
Yes, sir.
I'll move that we refer House Bill 1082 to the Committee on Appropriations, and just give a brief commercial that for my money, I don't think there's an area where South Dakota gets a greater return for our investment than in technical post-secondary education.
Okay, we do have a motion by Senator Knutson, second by Senator Koistra. I guess I just kind of echo that. We need to remember now these four tech institutes are located in four different areas of the state of South Dakota, but they are regional state institutions. So hence, that's why we don't see any local participation. But I think I would echo Senator Knutson. There's a tremendous bang for the buck, and that's the reason I asked Mr. Posh that last question, because it just goes to show you what the BIT portion of our tech institute's all about. Senator Boak?
As long as we're making comments. I'm going to support the motion, but I also wanted to be able to state the fact that I think that the focus on higher education of all shapes, sizes, and forms is important to South Dakota and for the growth, and there's absolutely no argument there at all. Problem is also that's true about fully funding and adequate funding at the K-12 level. Until we're able to do that, I think our focus may be a little bit cart in front of the horses, if you can say it that way.
You just did.
I'm sure I'll be corrected later then.
Pretty correct.
But the point being is that, you know, this will, if I read correctly, triple the expected amount of state appropriation to this particular form of education. And I think there are some notable holes in the K-12 funding formula at this particular stage, and hopefully we can address all those factors at the same time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Boag. I think it's evident that everybody would agree that K-12 is an issue. The chair's personal prerogative is we not cannibalize the needs that are out there. We have certainly the K-12 need. We are in desperate need of establishing additional doctoral programs. They're not cheap. Basically, it's, I guess, the realization or coming to terms, I guess, with the fact that quality education does have a price tag to it. So with that, we do have a motion to refer to the Committee on Appropriations. All those in favor of that motion will say aye. All those opposed, nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Denwald?
Aye.
Knutson?
Aye.
Koistra?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Boag?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Seven yeas, no nays.
House Bill 1082 has been referred to the Committee on Appropriations.